Hi everyone, welcome back to Intercontinental Money. As usual, my name is Hassana and I have my co-host with me, Femi. Femi, how are you doing today?
Good, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Did somebody delay your payment? Because I think that's one of the
that's valid.
It is. It's by the way, guys, if you're listening to us from any part of the world, Hassana is celebrating Eid. So we're counting down to Eid with her. So if you celebrate, send your best wishes to Hassana.
And the rams, 20 rams, like 20.
Oh yeah, I just said the rams. So don't worry about payment because, you know, more remit can do intercontinental money, you know? You know how it is. So yeah, we'll be able to, like, she can send you via one remit. So, but yeah, if you celebrate, best wishes to you and yours. If you don't celebrate, all the same, I hope you're good wherever you are. So yeah, Hassana, what are we talking about today?
As usual, we unpack the real life challenges businesses face when sending, receiving money across borders. Today we'll be talking about what to do when your supplier only accepts dollars, USD. So what can you do if, for instance, the options are like naira based or basically your local currency, but your vendors, your suppliers, they are asking for dollars. What do you do? So for instance, if you've ever tried to maybe pay a Chinese manufacturer or maybe someone in the US, you've probably hit this wall before, and maybe your business operates in naira or another local currency, but the seller says USD only. And this isn't just an inconvenience, because in many cases it stalls deals, delays shipments, and even forces businesses to abandon opportunities. So why is this so common?
Hassan has raised a very, very important question. Why do they insist on dollars? I think for you to understand why they insist on dollars, I think we need to go back to how the international transfer thing works in the first place. Generally, international transactions are conducted in dollars. When you pay money to in your bank app or your whatever you use to make transactions in your country, the bank doesn't just send your supplier naira or dollars or, sorry, naira or CDs or, you know, rand, whichever currency you spend in your country. No, that's not what happens. What happens is that your bank sends that money, converts that money into dollars. That's the first thing that happens. So for example, you're in Nigeria, you want to pay a supplier in the UK. The Nigerian bank doesn't just send pounds to the bank in the UK. If it's converts your naira into pounds, and that's done via a network of partner banks, usually outside the country, or via their own foreign subsidiaries. So a couple of Nigerian banks have foreign subsidiaries, and then they convert it into dollars. And then that dollars gets converted into the destination currency. Now that's whether euro, pounds, cedis, yuan, whatever currency. So the dollar, this is what it means when we say the dollar is a global reserve currency. That is, every international transaction in the world has to first pass through the dollar before arriving at its destination. That's what that means. Some countries are trying to bypass the dollar and go directly from one currency to the other. But on a general note, the dollar is that middle currency through the SWIFT system, the SWIFT financial system globally, that, you know, that is used by banks to transfer money from one country to the other. This is also why many countries say that all transactions in the world pass through the US, So whether or not the money goes to the US physically, because your money has to first get into dollars before arriving at its destination, it technically is passing through a US bank. That's why that statement exists. So now we know why that problem exists. What we now need to know is how we can work with it. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, carry on. Yeah, hitting the nail on the head.
The downside is that if you live in a country where there are restrictions on dollars or there are challenges with dollar transactions, it will definitely affect your international transactions, which puts an effect on the whatever business that you're doing or you intend to do internationally. It creates that problem, and then you're not quite sure what to do. So now, Hassan, I believe that you have a solution. But before we speak to the solution, I want to also touch on two other things. One, FX is not always available because not because there's dollar scarcity in the international market. There's enough dollar to go around, actually. But every country has two, maybe three major sources of dollars into the country, because every country spends their local currencies. So where are you going to get dollars from? There are only three sources, three major sources. Let's call it three, of foreign currency, or in this case, dollars. When you hear countries talk about foreign currency, they are majorly referring to the dollars. Some other countries get other currencies like the pounds, like the euro, like European Union, obviously, it would be the euro. But generally, it's the dollars. One is exports. So whenever a country exports stuff, whether the country nationally or individuals in that country export stuff to a different country, foreign country, they will usually get paid in dollars. So what that means, if, for example, let's use, Nigeria and Benin Republic, or Nigeria and Ghana are basically next door neighbors. Without a direct conversion of the Nigerian naira to the Ghanaian cedi, the Nigerian naira will have to first be converted into dollars, and then sent to routed via, a US bank, whether offshore or onshore, and then get sent to a Ghanaian bank, and then get converted into Ghanaian cedis. This is why international transactions take quite a while, because all of that process has to happen. And this is why it's also expensive, because all the charges, all the banks involved would want to take a piece of the cake, a piece of the pie. So like I said, exports, whether national exports like Nigeria exports crude oil, or individual exports, like freelancers exporting services, or a fashion designer exporting dresses and fashion items to a foreign country. That's the biggest and principal source of foreign exchange for any country anywhere in the world. Number two source of foreign exchange for a country is, I've talked about, foreign exchange and so on, if I remember my basic economics very well. Number two is remittances. So that's, citizens of the country who live abroad and then send money back home to their loved ones, their friends, parents, siblings, extended family, relatives. So this is very common in the Global South, where we have a community type of family. Even in the East part as well, the Eastern part of the world. So for context, China, Asia generally, that's China, India, Malaysia, Vietnam, the eastern part of the world is, that's where it's considered the East. The western part of the world is considered US, Canada, Germany, Europe, all of those places. Then the North, the West is also considered to be in the North, right? It's the global North. The global South, we have countries like South America, like Africa, some parts of Asia, right? So that's the global South. Remittances is also a very strong part of foreign exchange income, or foreign FX income for a country. Now, the third part, I do have, added it to the first one, individuals doing businesses, but the third is also loans and aid finance. For example, if the World Bank is giving your country a loan, they don't usually give it in the local currency of that country, IMF loans and so on. Or say, for example, the Bill Gates Foundation is giving a certain amount of money. Those loans usually come in foreign exchange or dollars to that country. So that's like a very tiny, minute part of source for the country. So that's how countries get foreign exchange. Now, every country needs foreign exchange. It's impossible for a country to operate and survive without foreign exchange. Every country needs. And the healthiest way or the best way to get foreign exchange is to sell in the global market. That is, you're exporting. So if you check countries that are really rich, they have something that they export at a very high level. Whether that's crude oil, whether that's cars, whether that's laptop, phones, there's something that they export at a very high level. So where a country's exports are not doing very well, or they don't have goods and services to export, or they are very low priced, or they exist at a low level, the country will not be able to earn as much foreign exchange as possible. Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. So that creates what is called a foreign exchange scarcity, or in the balance of trade, it's called a negative balance of trade, in the sense that the country is importing more than they're exporting. So let's get to the export side of the table conversation. The export side of the conversation, and so you will understand why all of these problems happen. The export side of the conversation means that people in the country are importing things, sorry, the import side of the conversation, rather. The people in the country are importing things into the country. Again, every country has to import. There is no country in the world that does not export or import. What varies is the degree to which they do either, right? Whether that's cars, technology, weapons, drugs, phones, furniture, whether raw materials or finished products, every country imports something. The problem is when you are importing, the country you are buying from, you have to pay them as a country. Now, they are not going to accept your local currency because they have no need for it, right? And especially if your local currency is not one that is in global demand. They are going to insist that you pay them, and you also don't have their local currency because you don't have theirs. You probably don't have any need for it. So the middle ground, usually reached by most countries, is to pay each other in dollars. That means that when you are exporting, you get paid in dollars, but also when you are importing, you also pay in dollars. So that's good too. That's clear up to that point. Now, what happens when a country imports, or rather exports more than it imports? There's a healthy and an oversupply of dollars, which is good, and it can help develop the country. But when what happens, that means that's why we say the balance of trade is positive. But what happens when the country imports more than it exports, leading to a negative balance of trade, right? Again, a negative or a positive balance of trade is not really, it's not particularly good or bad, so don't spend too much time there. The important thing is that it imports more than it exports. Now, remember how I said that when you import, you have to pay in dollars? The dollars that you are paying with is from the dollars that you earned when you exported. So if you exported and you earned $100, but you are importing something of $900, you automatically have a problem because you don't have as much dollars to pay with. This leads to what is known as a dollar scarcity, or as an FX scarcity. So if you're Nigerian listening to this, you now understand why, since you've probably been alive, we've always had dollar scarcity in Nigeria, especially if you're a young Nigerian. Yes, there was a time we didn't have such a thing, did not exist in Nigeria. I also understand why, it's not the only reason, obviously, but it's part of the reason why the exchange rate always rises against the naira. It's because we do not earn enough dollars to match the imports. It's not the only reason, like I said, but it's one of the reasons. And so the CBN now comes into play and tries to balance that or ration the dollars that are available compared to what the country needs. What that means for you as a business owner is that when you want to pay your supplier in China, suddenly there is no dollars to pay your supplier, or you want to pay your supplier in Taiwan or Vietnam or India or the US or UK. There's suddenly no dollars to pay. And then this is why your order sits, your bank order sits for months, for weeks, unfulfilled, even though you have credited the naira. Supplier on the other end has not received their payment. This is one of the biggest causes on hindrances to trade, especially among developing countries within Africa. Data shows that, I think African countries trade only about 3%, sorry, 3% to the globe with the world. They contribute 3% of trade to the world, and among each other, they probably trade about 13% or so, 13 to 20% with each other. The rest is, outside of Africa, because each African country struggles with the negative balance of payments, and we all earn less dollars than we need. That's always a problem. So we'd rather go to where we can get foreign exchange directly. So this is why there is always dollar problems, why dollar is not always accessible, why it's restricted, why the pricing market is volatile, why all of those issues happen. So of course, unless you're the central bank, there's no way for you to solve that problem, right? And so it causes problem like different exchange rates where the central bank in your country has a separate exchange rate, and then the what we call black market or secondary market has a separate price. And the CBN in Nigeria has tried to harmonize both prices. This is also why it causes delays in turnover times, where there is delayed payments, where your suppliers are annoyed, or they're frustrated, your goods cannot arrive on time, and so on and so forth. That's where all of those problems happen. But you have to do business, your business has to survive. So this, all of that, all the explanation, all the stuff I just shared also bring us to this point why One Remit exists to help your business solve that problem. So
That's a whole lot of useful information there. I was just taking notes, my pen and my book. Okay, so as Femi has said a lot, now let's talk about solutions. What can you do when your supplier insists on USD? So this is where, as usual, One Remit comes in. Because let's be real, most or let's say traditional banks, they are not built for this because they are slow, paper heavy, and probably not optimized for everyday B2B needs in fast-moving markets. So with One Remit, instead of relying on queues, expensive middlemen, all you have to do is provide your currency to One Remit and they handle the dollar part quickly, transparently, and with compliance built in. So basically, what that means is if you're Nigerian, you're trying to send money to your suppliers that want dollars, you just give One Remit that naira that you have, and One Remit will convert it and give your supplier the dollar that they ask for.
That's exactly how One Remit works. That's exactly how this is. You provide the naira, and then One Remit is able to settle. That's a word. That's the financial term. Settle the payment or settle the transactions in the currency of your suppliers. So whether that's dollars or euro or pounds. We can settle that transaction for you. And that means that the time taken for the business is efficient, it's faster, the turnaround time is very it's pretty fast. Our users say that yes, that we're made for this, that we're made for such a time as this. And I agree, I actually quite agree that we are made for such a time as this. So how then can we get One Remit?
So you just go to www.oneremit.co, oneremit.co. You just go there and you see a button that says talk to sales, and everything is just a simple process from there. So it's www.oneremit.co.
You heard the lady, www.oneremi.co. You get in there, you get your KYC done, submit information, required information, and you're on your way to having this challenge sorted out for your business. If you have any questions, I think you can send an email to business@oneremi.co. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, you have questions or comments, send them to us on Twitter, Facebook, Spotify. Send them to us. Let's help you out. All right. Yes. Hasana, I think this was a really nice one.
It was.
Yeah, shout out to my co-host.
Shout out to
Or
you
as we say, shout out.
too.
Shout out to my co-host. She's been amazing. Again, I should also say I apologize that this didn't happen on Friday. We had technical difficulties and we could not make the recording on Friday. We apologize. So we're trying to catch up and do it today. So hope you are still able to catch it. My name is Femi and my co-host is
Hasana. Bye, everyone.
bye for now.